WIBW News Now.
Welcome back to News Now. At noon, your time is 12:37. Developers are up in arms over a new EPA rule of protection for wetlands. They say it'll cost taxpayers trillions and mean less money for Kansas.
With us now, David Jenkins, president of Conservatives for Responsible Stewardship. Now, David, what is your all position here on this controversial topic?
Well, actually, we're pretty much opposite of the position that you just outlined with the developers. We believe that the rule is actually a good thing because it protects wetlands. And wetlands, they perform these functions for free that we need. They filter water, they hold water, they release it slowly in times of drought. And we think, you know, if you get rid of those, basically you have to replace those services with costly infrastructure. So if you're talking about costing taxpayers tons of money, losing wetlands is what costs taxpayers tons of money because, you know, you not only have to build that infrastructure, but then you have to maintain it over time. And our children have to maintain it over time, and their grandchildren have to maintain it over time. So it's a constant cost, whereas if you just protect the wetlands, you get all those services for free.
Well, this is a topic I've got to confess that is just a little bit bigger than I am. Now, we're not talking about the Waters of the USA Act, right? This is a whole different thing?
No, this is it. The EPA issued a rule a couple months ago, basically clarifying the scope of the Clean Water Act, you know, which waters it covers, which waters it doesn't. And it's very specific in distances from navigable body water bodies and, you know, how much beyond the high water mark and those kind of things. So it's easy for people to understand. Whereas in the past, the interpretation of the Clean Water Act has been a lot more sort of foggy, where, you know, EPA could come in and, you know, regulate something that most people wouldn't think that they ought to be able to regulate. But this rule that just came out is much clearer, and it fits in what, you know, the original framers of the Clean Water Act intended. They intended it to be a relatively broad act and cover wetlands and marshes and small streams and so forth. Because if you lose those things, then you have impacts for people who live downstream.
Whatever wound up happening, David, if you will, and we are talking with David Jenkins, president of Conservatives for Responsible Stewardship. I know one of the big issues with the act in the first place was, for example, we have many, many rural areas in Kansas and a lot of small bodies of waters, ponds, that is, and streams, et cetera, that people were afraid this was going to impact. So at the end of the day, the act does it impact those little bitty non-navigable waters?
It will impact things that have what they call a nexus to navigable bodies of water. So if you've got a small stream that flows into a covered stream, or you have a wetland that's adjacent, that's within the floodplain, or a certain distance from the floodplain, then it covers those. And it has to cover those, because you can't protect the bigger body of water unless you protect the small ones that make it up. And that's Howard Baker, one of the authors of the act, a Republican. He, you know, on the Senate floor, he said many times that, you know, this has to be broader. And you know, there's also been an argument that, oh, this is something the states should do. But the states really can't do it because water bodies flow from one state into another state. So you don't want people in Kansas being subject to the whims of what the state next door decides they want to do with respect to protecting waterways.
What about farmers and ranchers, et cetera, farmers especially, who have these fields that they plant crops on that they're not able to plant those crops on anymore, and possibly losing half their income on a yearly basis because these bodies of water now fall under this act and they can't utilize that land? That would seem to me to be a far bigger cost. Would I be wrong in that?
Yeah, I would say so, because if there's farmable land currently, then it's not going to be impacted adversely by this rule. The farmers, what they should be looking at is that if someone, you know, builds a strip mall in a wetland upstream of them and the water runs off really fast in the stream that they're close to or the river that they're close to, then when we get into dry periods, all that water's ran off. It's not been held by the wetlands and slowly released. So you got low in-stream flows, which means it's harder to irrigate your crops because you're more likely to face water restrictions on crop irrigation. So you want to protect those wetlands to protect your ability to irrigate crops. And, you know, what the people who are trying to, you know, that are up in arms about this are trying to do, they're trying to preserve the ability to pave over and fill in existing wetlands. And, you know, no farmer should want that. At least the ones that live downstream of somebody else, you know, it's a property rights issue. Basically, the people upstream can have an impact on your property rights. If your property floods, if your property, if you can't use water because somebody else has done something to the wetlands upstream, then that's just as much a trespass and an infringement on your property rights as, much more than if EPA is looking over your shoulder and saying, hey, you know, you need to do this because if you do the other thing, it's going to impact your neighbors downstream.
Okay, so when this actually did go into effect then, the part of it that would have affected farmers and their ability to use their own land if it was adjacent or so within such a distance to a body of water that was non-navigable but led to a navigable body of water, then that was rewritten or whatever, because my understanding is the way that it was, farmers would not be able then to till that land and use it for farming and crops.
Well, if it wasn't a wetland and it wasn't a body of water, which most farmland is not either one of those, then it was never going to be impacted under this rule. And this rule is very clear. It's got, says within, you know, X amount of feet of the high water mark, if it's a wetland, if it's a small stream within this. So as long as you're not paving over or filling in wetlands or small streams, it's not going to adversely impact you. You know, working the land is fine. There's nothing, people who try to say that it's going to impact that are just using scare tactics to try to rile people up. But unless you have an interest in filling in and paving over wetlands and small streams, this is not going to adversely impact you.
Well, and David, we got to let you go, but is there anywhere else people can go for more information? Because, you know, we're talking here, and there's just so much information out there, and this has been so ongoing. Is there somewhere people can go for more?
Well, people can certainly go to our website, which is conservativestewards.org, O-R-G. And I would also encourage them to go to the EPA's website and just read the rule. You know, instead of listening to people spread a lot of you know, misinformation about it, just read it. Read the parameters, and it's easy for you to follow. I think it's a much easier thing for people to understand what's protected and what's not protected than what we've had for the last 30 years.
Very good. Thank you. David Jenkins, President of Conservatives for Responsible Stewardship.